Charles Price is a minister in Toronto, and he tells how one year, the week before Easter, he was talking to a member of his church, and she was relating to him an announcement that had been made at her place of employment the week before, telling the employees that they would not have to work this coming weekend because it was Easter weekend. And the person making the announcements, I guess as somewhat of an explanation as to why that was taking place, said, "This is when Christians celebrate the crucifixion of Christ and his resuscitation." Now, I don't know whether that was intentional because of his or her, I don't know the sex of the individual who made the announcement. I don't know what they meant by that. I'm not sure that crucifixion is even a word. I haven't looked that up. But I know that for the majority of Christians who celebrate Easter and the events that surround that time of year, we are not celebrating today the resuscitation of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We're not here to celebrate someone who fainted or swooned or passed out on the cross only to be resuscitated later. We are gathered here this morning in the name of the one who on a Roman cross on Friday afternoon of Passover week, outside the city of Jerusalem, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, where for several hours he suffered until he died, but who then 3 days later was raised from that grave victorious over death, who then even several weeks later ascended into heaven where he now reigns over his kingdom. And we further believe that he still lives now in his church through his Spirit. He lives in and dwells in and works through each individual believer who makes up the church, the called out, those who belong to God, and we await his promised return. The messianic banquet where we will sit and be served by Christ himself in the new heavens and the new earth. That is our story. And as the old country song says, I'm sticking with it. That is the message, the central message of what I'm assuming the majority of those of us gathered here this morning believe. We believe that one named Jesus was nailed to a cross outside the city of Jerusalem, and there he suffered until he died. But 3 days later was raised again victorious over death. That is the narrative. That is the story that Christians all across the world believe. And we're sticking with it. It is not, however, a story that everybody believes. Paul speaks to this in a passage he wrote to the church at Corinth, and I'm going to read just a verse or two from that letter in just a moment. But before I get there, I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a newspaper journalist and a violinist. It's not a joke. It's an actual, real, true story. Gene Weingarten is a journalist for the Washington Post. A couple of years ago, he won the Pulitzer Prize for an article he wrote which was entitled Pearls Before Breakfast. The article was about a man playing a violin at the top of an escalator outside a very busy commuter train station near downtown Washington, D.C. The young man playing the violin that day played some of the most beautiful classical music ever composed. But for the most part, the thousands of people who walked by him that morning paid him very little notice. In fact, many of them completely ignored him as they walked by. Now, you may be thinking, well, what's so special about that? I've seen street musicians doing that before, too, on the side of a street with their case open in front of them. Why did this guy win a Pulitzer Prize for writing about a guy playing an instrument in a train station? Well, what makes this really interesting is the man playing the violin on that particular day was Joshua Bell. Now, if you're like me, that means absolutely nothing to you. But to those who know, Joshua Bell is one of, if not the world's most famous and accomplished violinist. Additionally, the violin he was playing that day was a Stradivarius. Again, that may mean very little to you as it did to me, but to those who know, that is the best violin a person can have. And this particular violin had been handmade in the year 1713 by Antonio Stradivari, obviously the guy that all of these violins have been named after. It was built to such perfection that if you shaved off even just one tiny sliver of the wood on that violin, it would have made the sound unbalanced. The violin Joshua played that day was worth $3.5 million. I'd have been afraid I'd drop it, and then I'd have to buy it. But he played this beautiful music on this incredibly expensive violin, and nobody knew it. Joshua Bell normally plays in concert halls in some of the world's biggest cities. Moscow, St. Petersburg, Vienna, London, Paris, New York. And people pay a lot of money to hear him perform. In fact, he earns up to $1,000 a minute in his performances. On this particular day, though, he was just another street musician playing for change in a commuter train station. Every time a train pulled into the station, people streamed up out of the subway, walked by where he was playing. He played for 47 minutes that day. Well over 1,000 people passed by, and hardly anyone stopped to listen or even notice what he was doing. He had his violin case open in front of him on the ground before him. Some people threw some change in there that day. In the little under an hour he was there, he made about $30. Only one person recognized him. Weingarten's article, Pearls Before Breakfast, was about the reaction of people to the performance. See, they taped it. They videotaped it. You go to YouTube. Don't do it now, okay? But you can go to YouTube and type in the name Joshua Bell, and this very performance will pull up on your screen right there in front of you, and you can watch the 47-minute performance that I'm talking about right here. And when you watch it, you'll see people just walk right by him, pay him absolutely no attention. Now, the really interesting thing about this is that this journalist wrote about the reaction of people and why they reacted the way they did. And obviously, one of the reasons Perhaps some were busy, they had somewhere else to go, they didn't have time. But one of the reasons that many of the people walked by Joshua Bell that day and paid him no notice and gave him no attention was because who would have expected the world's greatest violinist to be playing at the top of a commuter station on a Thursday morning, beautiful classical music on a $3.5 million violin? The idea that the greatest violinist in the world would transform himself into a common street musician and perform for change was foolish. Nobody expected Joshua Bell to do that. And so many people walked right by his performance that day and failed to appreciate the beautiful music that the world's greatest violinist was playing. Now, you say, neat story, but what on earth has that got to do with anything that we're doing here this morning? What does that have to do with Easter weekend, with the story of Jesus dying on the cross? Well, let me explain. As everybody knows, this is Easter Sunday. This is the time of year that Christians all across the world focus on the events surrounding the crucifixion and the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the promise that Jesus has made to return and gather all of those who've surrendered their lives to Him, where we will live with Him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. These events make up our story. These events shape us and mold us as we live out this story in our day-to-day lives. But as I said earlier, not everyone accepts this narrative. Not everyone accepts or believes this story as true. And one, not all, but one of the reasons why many people don't get it, they don't get this story, they don't buy into it, they don't accept it as true, is because who in their right mind would ever have expected the God of the universe to become a human being and allow Himself to be nailed to a cross outside of Jerusalem on a Friday of Passover week? The very idea that the God of the universe would subject Himself to torture and humiliation is foolish. Many of you will recognize the name Richard Dawkins. You know he's a well-known scientist, the author of many books, including one recently called The God Delusion. A while back, he debated a Christian apologist, a fellow worker of his who also was employed at Oxford University, a professor of mathematics named John Lennox. John Lennox is a believer. Richard Dawkins is not. They debated the existence of God. At one point in the debate, Dawkins, looking at John Lennox, said, "This man believes that the creator of the universe, the God who devised the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the physical constants, who devised the parsecs of space, billions of light years of space, billions of years of time, this man believes that the genius of mathematics and physical science could not think of a better way to rid the world of sin than to come to this little speck of cosmic dust and have himself tortured and executed so that he could forgive his creation." What's Dawkins saying? That's foolish to think of the God of the universe, the God who created everything there is. He could come up with no better way than that to fix what went wrong down here. Dawkins and others like him look at the cross and they hear the story, and they say, that's silly. That's petty. That's foolish. But you know what? The Apostle Paul would agree. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, here's what we read. The message of the cross, the story of Jesus hanging on a cross for the sins of mankind, the message of the cross, Paul says, if you've got your Bibles open and you're looking at it, there Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul goes on in that very chapter to say the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. God, the creator of everything there is, put himself on a cross, allowed nails to be driven into his hands and his feet, and died. Foolish. Surely the creator of the universe could come up with something better than that. Paul says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man. A few verses later, Paul went on to say, I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There are those in this community, there are those on my Facebook page who are my friends, who believe I am a fool for believing what I believe and preaching what I preach. I get it. It's almost laughable, but I can live with that. You may have some friends who believe you're foolish because of what you've expressed here today, your faith in the one called Jesus. I hope you can live with that. May we all remember that what the world sees as foolish is the power of God at work to redeem and reconcile lost sinners like us. Amen. May the message of Jesus and Him crucified, deemed by so many to be foolish, continue to shape and mold us this week as we strive to yield our lives to the one who hung on the cross and died that we might have life. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's stand and sing.